Thank you. All right, we are make a motion that we to begin the executive session for the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, April 28th, 2014. The time is approximately 6:05. Now stand in executive session. What's first?
Boards and commissions and fire company.
Okay.
Which one do you want to tackle first?
Let's go ahead and start with boards and commissions.
Okay, so there are a number of folks that are up for either renewal or replacement, or if they had stepped off. And so at this point, we wanted to talk about any suggestions you might have in terms of new folks to add.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you have that?
I'm sorry?
Where do we have vacancies?
You've got vacancies all over the place. Let's see. You've got two vacancies on the Housing Board of Review.
I call a guy named Jeff Ricks, local builder, the Malia Ricks, and Malia's over in Ocean City, her husband.
They live down here by the feed mill. They used to live on Broad Street.
Yep.
And they've taken two really old houses and done really nice things with them.
What's that David's
Ricks.
Ricks?
Yeah, Jeff Ricks.
Yeah. Jeff Ricks. Okay. Yep. I got the memo. I just asked.
Yeah.
I got it.
And you think he'd be a good person for the house?
He would.
Okay, so that would
he wouldn't tolerate any enforcements.
And then, you know, we can't find anything recorded where they last met, but legally they have to be there in case someone doesn't wish to appeal.
Yeah, if the way it's set up, if Dave does an inspection that's substandard or a unit's not livable, he can order the owner to get it up to speed, and of course then the owner would have a right to appeal to this board.
Gotcha. So, you know, we haven't needed it, fortunately, but we might, you know.
Never know.
The only time I remember them meeting was when Joel was doing his thing about Tate Pride in Berlin, and remember we had that meeting in the council chambers when, like, all the apartment managers came to town hall. They were there that time. But that was, like, the only time they've ever met.
How about that?
Remember, you were there, G. Remember, we had that big. We had a big meeting. It was when we were trying to clean up the apartment houses and the drug dealing and all that.
Yes.
And we had all of them in there in the housing board. And that's the only time I can remember ever meeting with them.
Well, hopefully, we'll never have any appeal.
Yeah. And we asked the three current members if they wanted to continue.
The new ones. It's a real easy job.
Huh? Yeah.
You keep never
that's what I told
them. So,
there's five slots. Three are currently filled, and you've got Mr. Ricks that you're looking to add. That leaves one more vacancy.
Okay.
All right. I tried to get John Jones to do it, but he wouldn't.
No.
Who are you adding?
Mr. Jeff Ricks. Jeff and Malia Ricks.
I don't know him. Where does he live?
You know Malia. Malia's over in the city.
They had the little restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Next to okay, where did they live?
Right next to Feed Mill.
Near the Feed Mill? They redid one of those houses there. Like when you take the right. Yeah.
Is it, I think it's Franklin.
It's blue. It's like the next to the last house before you take the big corner around the feed mill office. And they used to be on Broad Street, and they fixed that house up and sold it and went to there.
All right. So his name is Jeff Ricks.
They've been in town. I've known him for 20 years.
Yeah, she's a realtor here as well.
Her name's like
Malia.
Malia, M-A-L-I-A.
Okay. So we have one more vacancy there to think about, and assuming the other folks are not worn out.
All right.
And then
the next one's the Parks Commission, and your recommendation there was to renew everybody.
At least two or three of them asked if they could be renewed.
Right, and Mike Wiley has actually replied yes, that he will.
Oh, good. I mean, does anybody have any problem? Go ahead.
Sure. Loretta Brown Brittle? Mike Wiley, Bruce Hyder, Patricia Dufendock, and Sarah Hooper.
Sounds good to me.
And you know, I've sat in on several of their meetings, and they seem to work really effectively together. So you know, Mary can speak to it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mary's been their liaison for
a long time.
But I mean, to my way, at least my impression is, they have been more. They're not just reactive, constantly thinking ahead about what can be done next.
Yeah, it's a very good group. They're very active in the different events that the Parks participates in. So,
And just so you know, to James, as we're mentioning parks, is that because of the success of the parking in the events, mm-hmm. I told her if she would just research and get back to you all. I think it's called geotech things, so that when we have big overspills, mm-hmm. that we can still keep the grass.
Right.
But there's some way in which it can be accessible, and we won't have to worry about them tearing up mm-hmm. the park. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's going to happen once in a while.
Yeah.
I went down before we break the recommendation to Kurt Burbage's, and other than some big truck pulling in there sometime, his looks just fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for, 4 years?
Yeah, it looks real nice.
So I just want to let you know that Jane should be getting back with somebody.
Okay.
Now what's the next one?
Okay, so the next one's the Planning Commission. We've got, let's see, Newt Chandler and Phyllis Purnell are on it, and they're not going to expire for a while. Pete Cosby, John Barrett, Brunel Bowen, Chris Denny, Ron Cassio is going to expire at the end of this calendar year on December 14, and then you have Barbara Stack as the alternate.
So she would move into the regular spot.
Right.
That's my recommendation.
The recommendation was to take, I think, Brunel Bowen off and promote Barbara up to regular.
Does anyone... I mean, and that was only because I think the attendance. And quite frankly, I don't. That's kind of like, I don't know why, because he seems happy enough, and every time I talk to him, he seems fine.
I thought he was pretty active one time, but I guess he's not now.
Yeah, Phyllis comes, right?
Yeah, she comes.
Mm-hmm. Well, people's situations change, you know, and they don't maybe have.
So if you have someone in mind, you know.
So you will have seven.
But you need
looking for an alternate.
Yes, we need an alternate.
So you can try Natasha Brittingham as an alternate.
Okay. And which street does she live on?
She lives right on Flower Street.
Okay. I think that'd be easy to spot. And so it would be Pete Cosby, John Barrett, Chris Denny, Ron Cassio, Barb Stack, and who's the other one?
Chris Denny?
No.
You said that. I'll go down the list again. It's Newt Chandler, Phyllis Purnell, Pete Cosby, John Barrett. We're going to add Barbara Stack, we'll promote her, Chris Denny, and Ron Cassio. Yeah.
Good.
And then the alternate would be Natasha Brittingham.
And they, at least from the reports I've gotten from John, they seem to be a bit revitalized since our new planning director.
Dean, would you have contact information for them?
Yes, I'll email you.
Okay, great.
Great. And what we'll do is we'll send a little letter, and then I'll call you know.
Yeah, I'm coordinating with Joanne, who's sending letters.
Great, excellent. Excellent. All right.
Historic Commission. Helen Lang, Mary Moore, and I believe your recommendation is to take off Ms. Moore.
Yes. She's been on the commission since I was a little kid.
Rick Stack, Carol Rose, and Joel Todd.
I would be opposed to removing her.
Really? All right. I'll tell you what, she was surprised when I asked her for renewal the last time.
I mean, if she doesn't want to do it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But to terminate her without...
you don't need him here, do we?
No.
That's Jeff.
Now you don't know what he looks like.
He's eager anyway.
He's ready for an interview.
She is the longest serving member, but you're saying you would object to just changing the membership.
I would think that would be a slap in the face. Now you can ask her, and if she doesn't want to serve, that's a different scenario.
Okay.
But to me, in my mind, the only time we've ever gotten rid of anybody was Joe Hill, and that was for good reason.
Right. I remember that.
I mean, he was an obstructionist.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his own world. That's mm-hmm. contrarian before.
I mean, that's just my opinion.
Okay. That's what I was talking. Well, let me talk with her and see what she says.
But they do need an alternate because they have a lot of trouble
having a full meeting.
Getting a full meeting.
And what
the historic?
Historic,
yeah.
We haven't had anybody come forward that I know of. Anybody mention anything to anybody?
How about one of the Tustins? As an alternate.
Yeah.
John probably might not be interested because of his job, but I'm sure his wife would.
Yeah.
Betty would be bad.
Betty Tustin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're on Kenwood Court, 102?
I don't know the address. But I can give you I can send you.
That'd be great.
Okay. Excellent.
She served for many years on the Parks Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And a very capable lady.
Yeah, very knowledgeable. She's
a traffic specialist, so I don't know. She's an engineer. The historic district needs a traffic specialist or not.
And we'll have the traffic inside the historic house.
So we have the Zoning Appeals Board. Doug Parks has already said he'd serve again. Then we have Woody Bunting. Joe Moore, who's also said he'll... be happy to serve again. And Garen Mortensen?
Mm-hmm.
And you had two people step off, Sonny Atkins and I guess Fred Bearden passed away.
Yeah.
And you had Tara, I didn't write down her, I don't have her last name. Did you?
Downs.
But,
I think that's a big mistake.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's the one she asked for.
Oh.
How many people we need?
There's six names on here, but typically you have odd numbers.
Unless there's an alternate.
I'm just thinking here, this is another one where a lot of people have to recuse themselves.
Yeah, four, yeah.
I would suggest Jay Nurr.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Jay Nurr.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
K-N-E-R-R.
He's lived here a long time and he has good business
and
background.
And he's interested in getting involved.
Good.
He has a business in Ocean City and has been involved. He has the Kite Loft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice, yeah.
He is the current owner of the Kite Loft.
He lives next door to Betty Tustin.
Well, you can see my scope is limited.
No, but that's a good, I think it's
a good guy.
Yeah, no, he is.
Is that enough?
That
should be, let's see, 1, 2.
That would be 5.
That's 5.
I don't know if there is an alternate, because don't you have to establish?
Well, we can establish it in the same, in a separate motion, right? If we're at the same time, can we establish it?
Let me check.
Sure. Because that's about the only time.
You got somebody in mind, Rob?
No, I don't know about them.
I can send you the contact,
that'd be great.
Information.
It's a quasi-judicial board that has legal standing, and of course, then they can appeal to the circuit court.
Yeah.
But usually, you don't set them up for ties.
Right, that's why you have the odd number and an alternate.
Does that one call for an alternate? Did we?
He's checking.
It's got to be in Article 66, which I don't have here.
The pertinent one.
The state law sets a board of appeals.
Okay.
And then each municipality can, it just says a board of appeals and what they do. It doesn't say anything about the members.
Well, you got two good people on there.
I'll have to
when Joe runs, it's good. And Woody takes over. He's
Woody's good.
Very capable. Mm-hmm.
And Gary was one. Was he one you nominated? Here.
Gary. Oh, Garen.
Garen.
Morrison.
Yes.
He's the one that lives on the left, the first house that has that funny little mailbox.
No. That's the Shanks. He's across the street, the first house on the right.
Okay.
On Henry's Mill.
Okay.
Yeah, the manatee mailbox, that's the Shanks.
Okay.
And he has quite a background with public radio, and he did most of his work with the...
But we get letters from him periodically.
He used to come to the meetings all the time.
Well, the Shanks complain about the ice plant. They're the ones we get the...
So this guy lives next door to Jane.
Right.
Okay.
And then across the street...
His name has escaped
me. The Mortisons. But he does a lot of pictures in the town events. They're very active.
Mm-hmm. So you'll get back to us. Of course, again, the alternate would only serve if somebody wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Could you let us know if...
I'll get Laura that information tomorrow.
Yeah. You have time to do that before.
But him and his wife used to come to all the meetings. They sat in the back on the right. He has white ears.
I thought would recognize him.
They used to sit in the back on the right. They used to come to a lot of meetings.
Yeah. This was 10 days.
Yes, he is. She was on that with Diane Graham, but she moved.
The next one is the Board of Supervisors of Election. And you've got, let's see, Anthony Bowen, Lou Crater?
Crater.
And John Brittle all are going to serve until March of 15.
Burdell.
People's names. I'm sorry about that. And then we have Milton Shule, who is termed out, and we'll ask him to serve again. And then Leola was on this.
She was on.
As well.
Uh-huh. And I suggested somebody last meeting.
You did.
Yes, you did.
You sent it in an email?
Who was it?
I don't
know. You know, and Linda Bowen, is that you?
Oh, yes.
It's right here.
There you go, Paul the thing. Paul. Linda Bowen.
Linda Bowen?
Yeah.
But you got on the line there, don't you?
No, that's not Warren.
Oh, gotcha.
I have terrible hearing. Do you have some contact information?
I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then, so that'll round that group out. And then for the Ethics Commission, we've got Bill Burke, who said he will serve again. Anita Todd, who I spoke to today, and she seemed interested, but she's going to let us know. And then Milt Warren. And I spoke today. He's interested.
Bill Warren is still in Berlin?
Hey, he has property in Berlin.
That's three. We could use them all.
Some of them don't require them to be a town resident. I'm not sure about ethics.
I looked it up. There's no requirement that they be
resident. I know he lives in Delaware.
I don't think the Todds live in town anymore, do they?
They're at Gull Creek now.
Oh, they moved back to their other house.
Where's that little place?
Where Bill Burke lives.
Yeah.
She's, Meadow Street.
She's 14 Meadow Street. Bill Burke's 12 Meadow Street. And we could use an alternate for this group, but you've got the three, assuming that she calls.
What else is open?
That's it.
Well, as an alternate, can you put down Jane Burdell?
Jane?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking just the opposite.
Burdell.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean in terms of, are Jane and John related?
Oh, John is on this committee?
No.
John's on this.
John's sister-in-law.
David's, the one who spoke the other night.
That's his wife.
Okay.
If you said somebody was going to get back to you, if you need another person, I could come up with another name.
Okay.
Yeah, cause in case somebody unexpectedly doesn't renew, most of the folks have, at one time or the other, expressed that they want to. But what we did to make it official is we sent letters so that, and they have to check it and return it. That way there's a, a record. That they find.
And those are just starting to come back. Mm-hmm. I think we've got maybe three of them in. So.
But the goal is that the next meeting we'd be able to, feeling like we usually do it as a group.
Mm-hmm. So for the May 12th meeting we're shooting.
That's what we're shooting for.
To be confirmed.
That's our next meeting's right, May 12th, because we don't have that 5th or whatever.
Well, you're going to do a budget workshop on the 5th.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to check about the if the Board of Zoning Appeals can have a vacancy?
Yes.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, those all sound like good people, so we'll should do well there. Okay. Now, next was the approximate update. Let's see. Since the last time we talked, we had a tour last Friday. I think it was primarily arranged by David Lewis, and it was a good hour, half, something like that.
Till the fire whistle blew.
On telegram.
Yeah. And so, and it was Dean and Troy and Laura and myself, and they literally took us to every nook and cranny of the firehouse down on the lower floor, because the firefighting part, and showing us equipment, the equipment, which I discriminate as separate from the vehicles, and everything seemed fairly straightforward. We asked, well, why does certain things need to be replaced, and the equipment looks certainly functional. All right, the piece that was they say doesn't meet any kind of standard that will be acceptable anywhere is what they've had to do with some of their older equipment recently, is to give it away to fire departments in West Virginia, because apparently fire companies in West Virginia have no standards. They're the only state that just say they can't afford it, so they accept used fire equipment from all over the country. And it is the, I'll call it the shortest, what do they call that? The shorter of the two tower trucks?
Squirt.
Squirt. Yeah.
And what their concern is there, that it certainly seems in good shape, is that the ladder does not have the elevation for the handlebars. You know, when you go up, it's maybe, I'm say 3 to 4 inches in tops. Mm-hmm. And then most of them now it's 6 or more, so that when you're going up a ladder, there's a little of that. And so the current ones obviously have more layers. This one has 2, so it has a limited range. And the other part was that it's also, it's definitely open on the sides. Mm-hmm. I don't know when I was running, firemen jumped on the fire truck and hung on.
It is. It's open on the sides, so when the guys ride, they're not great.
And they said they don't force them, but they can't buy a new one like that. So it seems those are the two primary things there. So it doesn't seem to be an emergency. It just seems to be an inevitability. And of all the trucks they have, that's the only one that seems to be outdated based on current regulations. It was a very, I thought it was very cordial. Lots of questions back and forth. They opened up almost, I think, every section of every fire truck. And we went to the big rescue because, quite frankly,
rescue trucks.
We all had heard about different stuff, and they explained that some things... not always, but they gave us an example where they had to replace the jaws of life and 2 other similar pieces to meet current standards. And at Maryland, which doesn't surprise me, is generally speaking on the front end. I think it's like Maryland, California, Massachusetts, and a couple others are always the first to say you have to do certain things. I think what my impression was that there is a changing of the guard, all right? We even, in fact, ran into Joe Palepchak, Sr., and I even forgot who the other fellow was. But one of the
How
old
was
guards,
Joe? Did he speak to you?
He spoke for the first time since all this has happened, and we briefly shook hands, and as soon as we all did, they left. My impression is that There is this divide between the older fellows, or some of the older fellows, I don't want to blame them all, some of the older fellows who feel that it's what they do there is nobody's damn business, and the younger fellows who don't see the big deal about sharing financial information. Quite frankly, my impression is I don't want to get in the business of deciding what piece of equipment they need when and all that God knows, we got enough to take care of. What I'm going to throw out here, consideration, because we, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to talk at all, so we'll, everything you, I think we know, you can add, pitch in, and it is all up the same. My thinking, and another person I think I've talked to about this is Laura, is that each year we write a check, as we always do at the beginning of the year, for operations. And we can designate X amount for EMS and X amount for fire, right? And I'm assuming that we're talking in, you know, the total in the hundreds of thousands, but that be as it may, for the equipment, it seems somewhat to me a very judgmental thing as to what you need when. And of course, there's always, I assume if they have an accident, insurance would go a long ways, but maybe it wouldn't pay for it all. The ambulance replacement, I have no qualms with that. They buy three of them. They showed us some of the things they think the new ones will have, the current ones don't. And by shifting them over at the same time, they said there might be a month or so of training, maybe 2 months at the most of training on a new one, and then the other two would be replaced. And if they had any little slight tweaking, that they could get that done. And they're setting aside a total of $200,000 for trucks. That means every 10 years you're spending $600,000. So that to me was the one that was the easiest to understand, because they're putting aside $60,000 a year, which over the 10 years gives, well, that way they'll have the money in the reserve account. My idea is that we put aside in our reserves a designated amount, one for ambulance, and then a separate reserve fund for fire equipment. And this is our vehicles. I want to make sure it's stated vehicles. Because my impression is that if they handle their money right, the day-to-day operations with a reasonable and fair grant from the town, both of the operations of both shouldn't be in jeopardy. They shouldn't be doing without it. If they're doing without, it's self-imposed. That's just my opinion. But
what's this reasonable match you got in mind?
Well, that's well, the only thing
I came up with three. But my idea.
Yeah, for both.
And that's the only figure.
Uncle Charlie used to say both.
Both.
That's the only amount that's been discussed up until now. And it's
150 each.
Well, if you do it, whatever.
EMS or whatever.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't include the set aside.
No.
The 300 you suggested does not include the set aside.
Well, when we sat down that one day, we were sitting here talking. It was a three. I thought it was total, but and out of that was 60 and.
Yes, yeah, but what we were talking about is that we run 40% of the, or 60%, how does this work? Yeah, 60% of the ambulance calls are in town, and at least from the documentation we've gotten in recent years, that's been pretty consistent. And 40% of the fire calls are in town. So what but taking that $600,000, that would come to $36,000 a year. From the town for ambulance vehicle replacement. Mm-hmm. And when they bought them, it would be up to them. You know? And apparently, they say they're buying them now, they're buying them now. The fire, I figure, just looking at the overall, because it is hard to say which vehicles. They have 13 vehicles stationed in Berlin, in this, and that doesn't include the old map. So there, I was going to propose that we consider $200,000 a year for a fire, but it's not, in other words, it's not transferred until the new equipment is purchased. So that what we're trying to do here is say, look, we'll create a reserve account and we'll escrow it, but we hold on to the money until the equipment is bought. And that way we don't get into what they can all fight and argue about what piece of equipment should be.
Well, you know what I like about that? is just from my time in the House, that will get them to spend and budget their money wisely. When we were giving them all that money up front, you know, hey, let's buy 500 of these. Okay. I mean, seriously. Or, hey, we need new T-shirts, you know. Let's buy T-shirts. Here, T-shirts, everybody, or sweatshirts, or whatever. That way, if they know that the money is being held by the town in escrow, then the money they have, they can use for their operating, et cetera. And there won't, that'll cut down on that waste and, oh, let's go buy new wheels and tires for the new vehicle we just bought.
I'm not following your numbers.
All right. Explain that to her again. Right.
Well, let's start with
you were talking about $300,000 as outright
grant
for operating expenses. Mm-hmm. Then you said something about $33,000, $36,000 in reserve.
And then it said two.
So there's $236,000.
Right.
So plus three, we're more than we used to be.
Yeah.
No, we're not. No. It was just shy of 490. We were
we were close to 600. It was like
590, 580.
Well, this is 636. What I just heard.
No, 536.
536.
You said 300.
300 plus 36
plus 236.
Okay.
So we're at 530.
It's about 100 and...
You're not far off of what we were doing before.
It's about 100, somewhere between 125 to 150, in the immediate years, 5 or 6 years.
Prior. We were like 560, 570 before. Mm-hmm. So now you're 536, you're not far off.
Mm-mm. And, G, if you're talking about all that, I think you can skinny down at 300 a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think that is more...
I mean, if you could take... You might be able to take that 300 down to 150, and it still is very generous.
Yeah.
Well, last Friday when we were talking, what we were looking at was $200,000, a total of 350.
Yeah. Yeah, this
200
is
coming out of contingency, which you've got within the budget. It'll leave you a little bit left over. And then 150 for capital, which would come out of your reserves. And we would split that something like, I think we had about $40,000 of it would be for the ambulances, and 110 would be just sort of rounding the 36,000 up. So that
would that 236 just went to 150.
50, right.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
And how much for operations?
There's $245,000 in the contingency for next fiscal year. So what the mayor and I sort of brainstormed about on Friday was taking $200,000 out of the contingency, and that's the operating contribution.
Okay.
And then you'd have $150,000 for capital.
Okay.
And that would be split $40,000 for EMS and $110,000 for
fire.
The idea being that you know, it would be an allocation within your reserves. It would come out of your reserves. Yeah. So your reserves would lower and would be allocated over here. We would earn interest on that money. It would be our interest to keep. Mm-hmm. And then when they wanted to buy a piece of equipment, we'd do it on some sort of reimbursement basis or something like that. I mean, something we haven't really talked about is if the council wants to enter into a situation where you have joint title.
That was my next question.
Or if you want to say, we keep the title, we'll give you the money, we keep the title, here's your money. That's another option. I've seen done in other places.
I think we should do joint like Ocean City. I really do. I think we should have a little security on, you know, it's not, you know, you talk to those guys, that is their fire truck, but who bought it? The ratepayer, the grants from the federal government, the grants from the state government, the ratepayers have bought that equipment.
It certainly takes away when you're going to buy this new $750,000 truck. We're going to take our toys and go out to Route 50 with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can move around and do anything you want, and we understand, but you're not going to say we're not going to use it for Berlin anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the threat that happened. And that's your old school. Mm-hmm. And I think they've gone away from it.
But I really think that's fair enough.
All right, so we're talking about a total of...
But I don't know if we should bring that up right now.
No, we would let the process continue, but we have to... I think we need to have some idea of what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think among everything... You know they're going to scream about having less operational grant, mm-hmm. but the idea that they don't have that money sitting in their bank accounts
yeah.
is something I don't even think has occurred to them.
Laura, what was your final operating amount that we were going to...
Yeah, the
you said rate. Something about...
200,000.
200.
You said there was... Well, did you say there was like 240 in contingency?
240,000 is in the proposed budget for next fiscal year for the contingency.
For contingency. And you're suggesting 200, where Troy...
You could take 200,000 out of that for
okay,
the
and Troy, you had started with 300, mm-hmm. so that's...
Well, I would really 300 total. And we're at 350 now.
So now we're 2 and 150. We're 2 and 150.
Right. With 40 for EMS, 110 for fire.
What I hear in terms of a consensus is it sounds like, at least at this point, there's some interest in having an allocation for operating and an allocation for capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little difference on the actual amounts.
Concepts there than the details.
Right, but what I'm talking about when I say the $200,000 coming out of contingency, I understand that means you're not hitting your reserves any harder, but if you do the set aside for capital, you will be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already looking at taking $460,000 out of reserve, something like that, next year. So this would be, if you do the 350, 200 for operating, 150 for capital, then you'd be taking another $150,000 out of your reserves in terms of available reserves, mm-hmm. right? You'd still hang on to it, you'd earn interest on it, but it wouldn't really be available to you to spend, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And what is the reserve account at this point, discounting what we're getting from the current FY14, which Natalie the other night said was about 50?
Mm-hmm. I think a 5.2.
Is it about 5.1 or 5.2?
Yeah.
Do I think it makes sense to have some general sense of where you want to go? We'll have an audit, and I think that will help provide some additional information.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't wait for that to come to have this conversation. I think it makes sense to start now. Maybe
so
causes you to make a difference.
The proposed budget, this contingency we're talking about in the general fund,
yes,
right
ma'am.
Now is 251,118,
right.
Unless it's gotten changed.
Well, for is that
proposed FY15?
Okay, I might be off a few thousand, but yeah.
Well, you're pretty close.
So we take that down to basically 51,
mm-hmm.
roughly 50.
Right. And so keep in mind that what that does for you throughout the year is it reduces your flexibility.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, AGH comes and wants a grant for $50,000, then you've got no more contingency.
Come back next year.
Or there's that, too.
We drop the lawsuit.
Yeah, that's a big conversation.
and that is contingent on first us adopting the way the credits work, and then meeting with them, asking
mm-hmm.
to meet with, and I want to meet. I would prefer to meet with the board, so they hear it. You know, because all these conversations
get
reinterpreted.
Right. Well, the board's Wednesday night meetings.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, don't kill me. But,
well, you have it all these years.
But
tempted.
I would like to suggest. A little more for the operating. I would suggest 250 and 150, they're making the total grant 400. Those guys showed us really equipment that impacted on life saving and their well-being. And that concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about not being able to replace gloves and jackets and
you
coats
drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes, I drank the Kool-Aid. I drank the Kool-Aid. And And I know how those guys went in this house back here the other week.
Hey, our sons are going in there. We want them safe, too.
I really would.
They're interior crew.
I really would feel terrible if something happened to somebody because of an equipment failure and that kind of stuff. If you notice the $200,000 we gave last year, they still were able to operate with a surplus. I think it was $130,000.
Right, you're right.
But at the same time, they didn't buy any of this replacement equipment that they needed. So,
hoods they put over their faces that look like a snow mask to go out in the snow, they're gray. That prevents them from burning, and then they put the helmet over that, and then their pack gear on that. And it's just the eyes and nose cut out in the mouth. But those are $60 a piece. That one looks like a snow mask, you wore as a kid.
So I'm suggesting $250 operating.
Okay. And the 150.
And the 150. That's going to give us a total.
And that would be for vehicle replacement.
Yes.
How does this stack up with what they asked for? I tried to find it, but I couldn't right off.
They were $570.
Yeah.
That's what they got last time, is what they asked for again.
Yeah, it was exactly the same. Mm-hmm.
And we're not going back.
No retroaction.
They know that.
Yeah. Yes, I drank your Kool-Aid.
$567 is what they're asking for.
$567.
But I mean, honestly, walking around that firehouse, looking how they maintain that house and that equipment, they don't look like they're lacking for much around there, do they?
They got some nice stuff, but they should have nice stuff.
And they take care of it. They do take care of it.
But I don't know. I wonder about the leadership of that FAR company.
But we can't do that with them.
All those guys had to tell us was okay, and we'll do better. And we would have never got this far.
You got that right.
But somebody giving you $600,000
every year.
And
but you've grown up thinking you're entitled to it.
Yeah. And
that's the mentality that has to evolve.
But that is the mentality of then the leadership. Because I believe that they talk about replacement vehicles. I think they're buying additional vehicles, and those vehicles are the old truck. It's going to be around a long time. That's not going to West Virginia.
You're absolutely right.
Like
they've given one vehicle away in 18 years.
That's just a way to pacify.
And it was a place that had a fire, and they lost all their
equipment. See, I feel the same way about the fire company that I do our own police department. When we're buying thinking about buying three new Tahoes, that's fine, but then let's get rid of three old vehicles.
Yeah.
No more.
And we are. Yeah. The police department is.
Okay, good.
Getting rid of this.
But we have a habit of not always doing this.
Yeah.
We're growing the fleet.
And on the inventory, Jeff said it's a spare vehicle for the police.
Yeah.
Did you?
I saw that.
Yeah, it's a spare.
And it looks like every officer but one has a vehicle assigned to them.
Right. Some of those vehicles are getting a little rough looking.
They've got some age on them. But let's get rid of the old.
Yeah.
And I think the fire company's the same thing.
Is there a way in which we can communicate that with whatever the amount is that we end up allocating to the...
No,
I'm talking about to the...
Police department.
Oh.
So jumping around on you, Laura.
I was fine. My understanding from talking to Arlo is they're not planning on expanding the fleet.
Okay.
So if that's what you want, you just tell them these are replacement vehicles and you will not expand the fleet.
Janine's car will definitely go.
And when I asked him and he started counting them up, we totaled, and I know I said that comes to 18.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 30 new ones.
So what do you all think about the 250-foot fire department?
Back on fire company again?
I don't have a problem with that.
So if you do that, then that'll take basically all your contingency out of the budget that you're working on for next year.
We're talking 400.
Tap into reserves a little bit more, put some contingency in there so you have some flexibility. Some.
Well, what is it? Let me ask this. What makes more sense? Does it make sense to make a budget amendment to use contingency if we need it, or do we just want to have it there just in case we need it? I mean, that's really a policy decision, because if we need it, we're not going to spend it unless we need it. It's just, what do you prefer?
It is good to have a little bit in the contingency, though, right? Because, I mean, we have gone into that in the past because it was easy. You know, it was there, it was available. I mean, we don't have to have as much.
Well, it's just the same motion. It's a motion to tap the reserves, or a motion to take that contingency.
And what's easier?
I don't think it makes a difference.
So do you want to go ahead and, as I guess I'll repeat the question, Laura, do you want to take an additional $50,000 from reserves to have $50,000 in contingency?
I wouldn't. I'd leave it right in reserve. I'd take the $250 out of contingency, and it sure makes it easier if somebody comes and asks you for something.
This contingency is kind of a new thing. We did not used to do this.
And part of it is because things are changing so damn fast. I don't know. I mean, we've had so much happen that we didn't even know was coming down the pike. And instead, I'll be honest with you, instead of constantly saying no, or maybe we'll get back to you, we just get it done, and a lot of these are smaller.
Because all of this budget amendment that we're asking for tonight is all just switching it around out of contingency.
Right, but some of the reason why you've got that in there is because the way the code is designed is it doesn't give the mayor or the town administrator the flexibility to do any transfers, so we need council permission.
Or you just go over in some categories.
Yeah, but in some cases we actually need your permission to move money from contingency. That this a lot of this that's on the agenda tonight is for Megan's position and stuff we've been doing for economic development, things we've already talked about.
To me, it's more upfront.
I think it's a great idea. I'm just saying that it hasn't always been this way.
Yeah, and I agree.
Once you do that contingency, it gives you almost a false sense of, okay, I got some wiggle room here.
That's why I want to not do it. Don't have any wiggle room, so when I come to you and say, sorry, we don't have it.
Yeah, but I'm just the opposite. and you would say just the opposite if you were in my shoes. You know, some of these people come up and they're not asking for silly stuff. They're just asking for stuff we didn't anticipate. And I think you know,
there's a happy medium here.
Yeah. And we're not talking, if we were talking $250,000, yeah, that would be ridiculous. But you know, here's the thing, all of this, everything we're talking about is based on the belief, you know, that within the next 5 years our tax base is going to grow. Not by 1% or something, and not by 100%. But that I think we have set ourselves up in the best possible position of any community in this region to grow. And you know, not all that money ends up in the net bottom line, but I'm saying, I don't know why we went through the last 5 or 6 years if we weren't anticipating planning for growth. I would not be in favor of constantly 5 years going into reserves. The idea is to build
the reserves.
Well, build the tax base, and that way the going in reserves goes away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got aging infrastructure.
Yep. And our infrastructure compared to what it was, we did the walk today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, compared to the walk the first time. We have a lot, and thank goodness the state jumped on board. But I was trying to explain what some of those streets were like, where it was actually dangerous to walk down the street.
You couldn't walk all the way down the street. You had to go out in the road and come back.
I think the thing is, and I'm just going to recommend it because you know we're all trying to just make the best decision we can, is that. That we consider, and we have to wait for the process and we wait for the audit, and so let everybody sleep on this a little bit. We consider Dean's recommendation that 250 go to operations, that 150 be held in reserve, and they can spend it any way they want for vehicles. We're not going to decide what vehicles. If they need it for EMS, whatever. But that 150 is set aside at the time the vehicles are purchased. All right, and then when it's gone, next year 150 is there to replace it, and it's spent when the vehicles are purchased. And that the operations part for this year, and I think that's another thing we explained to them, it's going to be based on a year-by-year situation, based on our condition, and if our financial condition will support it, that's our hope to where we hope to keep it. But that's as much as we possibly
can. And that's both parts, right? The capital and the operating are contingent on our...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a yearly ask.
It's a yearly ask. And it also encourages them, hopefully, to learn to play nicer.
Now, just a question for Dave, because we talked about joint title of these vehicles. Can you share with me the liability associated with joint title of our truck? Is there any?
We would be covered by their insurance. Then they would have to, they're required to have insurance.
They would hold us as an additional insurance.
Sure, right. Okay.
Which we're partially paying for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through their operation.
Yeah.
And with joint title, does that imply any percentage or anything?
No.
You just split right down the middle. Okay.
Joint title. You can't sell unless I sign the title.
It just keeps that veil of threat out of their mouth.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's a great idea.
Which was very childish.
It's like Troy said, they won't be able to take their trucks and move around.
They'll probably say, keep your money.
I'm sure they'll move them around and stuff like that. Yeah. And I wouldn't want to hamstring up the operations in the older trucks. You've seen all the new trucks on Route 50.
And this is all going to change if you get that development on Seahawk Road. This whole thing is going to change.
I think the key thing is we just want to have cooperation rather than confrontation. It really comes right down to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the younger generation, and by younger, some of you folks aren't that young.
We're talking 35-year-olds.
Yeah. But
that's some, pretty young.
As a young generation.
Yeah. That's pretty
But
young.
If the younger generation, by habit, gets used to the fact that they hand over the same information we would get from any other entity, I think a lot of this just fades away. I just think it's a matter of doing it over and over and over, where, you know...
Because they're not going to be pleased with this.
No.
But, hey, it's better than they're getting now.
Look, I go back to last...
I'm going to stick my head in the guillotine. I think the majority of them are going to be happy with this.
But do you remember last year when we gave them the $200,000? Do you remember what Mark Brown said? He leaned over to Bill and he said, Bill Hall, I love you to death, but... You know, this $200,000 is just not going to get it. We're going belly up. And he came home and he told me, you just gave them $200,000 and they didn't even tell you thank you.
Well, they messed their $600,000 up.
But, you know,
we'll get a budget to actual again next year.
We're going to get the same response we got before. The old ones are going to nit and pick and fuss, and the young ones are going to go,
you're going to get thank you.
Let's see what the audit says.
Yeah. Yeah, where are we with the audit? Is it in progress?
Yes, it's in progress.
Yeah. No more grief? No.
I don't know. Have you heard anything?
No.
Okay.
Oh, everybody's happy.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'd say what you don't know right now is not going to hurt you.
Yeah. But we don't want to let off any numbers until we have the audit to confirm.
Yeah, we really can't make that decision.
But it makes sense to talk about what you've come
up with.
That's a good conversation.
And I think the best, and again, I'm looking for advice here, I think the best thing to do is to say, look, our wish is to be able to improve our support, but we are definitely not in a financial position to go back to where we were. And just leave it at that for now. Let that sink in, and then come back with, here, we've examined your books, our budget, and this is what
we are supporting them to an extent the way we did before. They're just not holding the money, gaining interest in their account. It's going to be in ours.
Right. And I can't imagine, honestly, the way the citizenry has... really stood behind our joint decisions. I cannot see the citizenry, other than people who are related directly to the fire company, thinking that we're being cutting them short or not being supportive.
Him. His brother retired. He ran for the door.
It's a really big way to end this up. Yeah. I can tell you, you're going to have a lot of support from the other guys, and they're going to tell the old folks to be quiet. They might not be quiet, but
and see what's happening up there is the younger guys, their vote is getting bigger and bigger as the old guys are retiring and and getting smaller and smaller. So that's going to turn around.
Harry was one vote away from not getting on, and Austin was one vote behind him.
Wow. So it's inevitable.
Yeah, oh, it's on the way.
Harry's a lot of trouble, too.
He's the biggest.
Can I change subjects for a second? We're going to wrap up. There's just a couple of meetings. This is more of a scheduling thing I wanted to talk about. On the 5th of May, we're going to do another budget work session with the electric and all the utilities. What I'd like to do is see if you'd be available to stay for maybe a half an hour after that to meet with Jeff to talk about health insurance. I think it would be really good to have a detailed discussion about the Cigna plan and how it compares with the plan that we've got going on right now. Because what we'd like to do is ask you to take action on that.
And that would be under personnel. Is that how we do that?
Yeah.
That's benefits. You
can benefits.
Okay, just one
but I need to see if you'd be able to stay maybe a half an hour.
That's after?
After. Okay,
sure.
And that's at 6?
The 5th.
The 5th. Meeting on the 5th starts at 6.
But we do the work session first.
We'll do the budget work session first.
So probably about 8 when we get out of there.
7:30, 8, something like that.
And you're not going to go to Raceway Auto, right? Probably.
at least lock the car.
At least lock the car.
And then on the 19th.
She hasn't laughed yet. She will not.
Miss my iPad.
I bet that.
Then on the 19th of May, I wanted to see if you'd be available for, a special executive session to talk about the stormwater credit. By then, we should have a draft to walk you through.
Wow. And, what date was that?
What do you mean by stormwater credit?
I didn't have us down for a meeting.
It's a follow-up to the AGH lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
If that credit we're looking at putting in the stormwater utility, that's what we would be walking you through.
What time?
About 6 o'clock.
So that's another meeting between meetings.
Yeah.
And what night again was that?
Mondays are...
We have gone.
Yes. And I'll put this out in an email to you, but I thought since you were here, I could just talk to you about it quickly. Okay. What we're thinking about doing with the stormwater credit is getting a draft together and then having you take a look at it and then meeting with AGH to talk about it and then putting it in front of you for action. So
there's no need to force the formal go through that formal process without having the negotiation part in between.
Now, is this simply for AGH?
No, it would apply to
any commercial,
any non-residential, non-residential.
Are we going to make them put those curves back in?
Every non-residential.
I honestly can't remember.
So we're
cutting
AGH.
I know. Which curves?
Next time you're over that way, right down the end of Healthway Drive.
Okay.
And do around where the helicopter landing is.
But
on either side of that circle is two, probably 3-4 foot sections of the curbing cut out. So when that water comes down that street, it goes through those curb cutouts and it's going directly into the Kitch branch. And this is why I get a little fussy with them when they start talking about how all their storm water is treated on site. No, it's not.
We talked about that, though.
No, it's not.
Do we want to consider all non-residential?
As opposed to all non-residential, non-profit.
Profit, yeah. Because if Super Soda is not going to pay, well, I'm going to feel like I shouldn't be paying.
Well, what I was saying to those guys before was, if you build a brand new product tomorrow, you are built to 100% new standards. The guy across the street that had done nothing, and he's been there for 40 years, is paying the same bill I am. We're both an acre.
See, but I think after we get down the road some, we may be able to consider what you have just said. But as it stands now, starting off and getting a handle of the revenue that's going to be needed to make this thing work and all that kind of stuff, I just think consider non-residential is just too big of a pot to...
Right, so you're saying do it in phases. We're talking about non-residential, non-profit only in the beginning?
Yep.
And then later down the road?
Later down the road.
Now, here's the thing. I would support that with one condition. If somebody in between makes those improvements, they shouldn't be denied credit.
Well, then they can be considered.
They can be retroactive.
They can come in and say this is what we've done.
I just hate for them to be in that limbo where because they did something good, they get punished.
No, they say
it takes 5 years.
But I don't want to feel like the hospital is forcing us to do this so that we can give them a credit and get them off our back.
I know.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Exactly. And I don't like that. And the other thing, you know, Michael Franklin.
And the alternatives we go to court.
It's paying the lawyers.
Right. And Michael Franklin's running around. They're crying, poor, 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 the hospital. They're buying every piece of property they can get their hands on. High dollar property.
Oh, I don't think they're crying poor.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. All this PR, all this hospital.
Let's see what Laura's got to say before we make up our minds, which we've already done.
That's okay. I'm going to find me a lawyer, and I'm taking my picture of my HIPAA lawsuit.
I just want the policy to make sense. Because quite frankly, somebody's going to be your best friend one day, and you're going to be mad at you the next day, and the next day they won't talk to you. I just can't worry about all that.
You can't play like that.
I just want to come up with policies that we can live with that are predecessors.
Did you see the email I sent everyone today about the legislative committee?
Yes.
You went through a toner for me.
I'm sorry. One piece, though, that I wanted everybody to look at was the part about funding fire companies. That's a big piece of legislation that passed this session about funding them in the formula. So I thought that was very interesting considering what we're doing.
Okay.
And the other big piece of bill was the speed cameras. Boy, these towns that have speed cameras, they better pay attention to that the changes in that.
I don't want to get nothing.
No, we don't. Because they're going away. They're going to go away.
I have to go through a whole handful of them in Salisbury.
But they're really pushing, you know, they're having a lot of problems with them.
Yeah, that was being abused. It just was a modern way to do what they did when I was growing up, and especially in your southern states, and Delaware was most notorious. They just had speed traps everywhere, and they were just money making.
Remember in Delaware, they would take you from your car to court.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
They would, Laura.
They took
you from your car back in the day. You didn't wait to go to court, pay a ticket.
That is North Carolina. 17.
Motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
My buddy had to sit in the car, wait for them to come back.
Exactly.
Oh, to be in a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.